Sorry about that. I haven't worn my microphone in a while. My wire came out and was looped around my arm. Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless God. I'm telling you right now, I've missed you. It is good to be back in the house of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm looking at a faithful group. I'm going to tell you right now, we were like, dear God, how do people not get it? You need to be with other people. You've got to stir that love. Now, the only thing that it wasn't even a help was I was sleeping 20 out of 24 hours. That's not a good thing either. But I'm here to tell you right now, what the devil wanted to do, God stopped. God stopped it. Right there's a miracle. She was going to be sitting. I came in and I'm like, what's she doing? It's a step of faith. That's what it is. But hallelujah, I am so thrilled to be back in here. I cannot lie. It was just miserable not being to be able to be here. And, you know, we tried to explain, you know, we were like, okay, God, thank you. We got some time we can not think. We just could not think. Praise God. But I'm here. We're here as testaments to tell you that whatever the devil wanted to start, whatever fight he wanted to start, we're back. We're going to finish it. I'm not going to be like George Bush and tell you when I'm coming. I'm just going to blow your house away, devil. We are here. The devil is trying to stop something that God is trying to do. We've seen lives change. We see people growing in the Lord. And I'm here to tell you right now, that's what the devil is trying to stop. He wants to thwart what God is trying to do. Hallelujah. Now, we are going to do War on the Floor today. So if you got a piece of paper, write it down, please, because we're actually short on... And Pat's got a few, but write them down. We're going to pray. I debated on whether to do it or not because I was like, well, you know what? Next week is the last Sunday. We'll be right back. But that don't matter. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, not a house of commerce, not a house of socialism, social club, but a house of prayer. And that's what we're called to do. And let's see, humble themselves and pray. So, but a couple announcements real quick. As you noticed, if you looked at your things, there is no fellowship meal right now. It's off the menu, literally. And next week is Compassion Cafe. So if you don't know what we do for Compassion Cafe, is we take the proceeds from that and use it towards a benevolence, wherever God tells us to bless. We've used it to raise money for Operation Christmas Child. Thank you. I was just looking at some Compassion International forms this morning. And it's like, got that stuck in my brain. Praise God. But let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. And hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, get ready. I'm challenging you. Get ready. God is going to bless his people greater, and they're not going to have to work harder. Because I'm going to tell you something. I will pray here in a second. God was working on me, and this is what the devil tried to stop. God was working on me on a message, giving me a message about complaining. And I said, I asked God before, I said, God, okay, what is it about complaining? I said, I want to hear this from you. And God spoke right down into my heart, and he said, when you complain, it's an accusation or a charge against me that I'm bringing evil to you. Did you hear that? When I looked up the word complain, do you know what one of the definitions of the word complaint or complaint is? An accusation. You go to a court of law, what are you bringing? A complaint. When you complain, you're bringing an accusation against God. God, I tithe. Why aren't you? Well, how about looking at how you're spending your money? Oh, by the way, how are you complaining? And I'm on my message, doggone it. But I'm here to tell you, God, yeah, I'm going to pray. I'm in the role. It's been 3 weeks. I'm just kind of dammed up right now, and there's like this ice dam, and it's kind of... I ain't been able to talk for two of them. And nobody to listen to anyhow, because we were all zombies. So, all right, let's bless it. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for a glorious day. Lord, I thank you, you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. Father, there's none above you. And Father, you have reached down and you have set us free. We are free indeed. We will not be held captive any longer to the chains of the past. And Father, as a step forward into your kingdom, Lord, we honor you today with our tithes and our offerings. Father, I bless them right now in Jesus' name, and I call forth heaven and earth as witness that your word is true, your word is faithful. Lord, that you are bringing about the blessings that you have promised in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and those super kids may be dismissed. Two. Three? Okay, good deal. I did put mine in there, right? Oh, praise God. Well, Angela was talking to Katie the other day, and she told Katie, she said, you know, right now there's this song by Lincoln Brewster, Strength Will Rise As We Wait Upon the Lord. And I said, oh, I thank God that's the song you're rising up in your spirit. Because I said, the night that you went to the hospital, I said, I was hearing, don't fear the reaper. And that was my worst night. But I'm here to tell you, God is faithful. They told her she should actually be in the hospital a month. 5 days. Your prayers work, people. Don't ever sit and think, all I can do is pray. Bless God, that's what I need you to do. We couldn't, listen, we weren't telling people, not because we're being jerks. We couldn't think. We couldn't hardly talk. We would sit on the couch. I'd look over and she's sitting there, her mouth's cracked open and she's a zombie. And I'm over here trying to sleep. It hit us differently. But what I'm here to tell you is the devil's not going to win this fight. And I'm going to tell you something else, because this I've actually heard these messages preached about, well, you know what, you ain't got faith, brother. If you the devil coming hitting you like that with sickness, you should be able to walk healed and whole. Oh, hogwash. Take your self-righteous garbage and go to the sewage treatment plant, please. I'm sick of hearing it. Do you know how many preachers have a personal physician on speed dial? Faith preachers, by the way. I know them. And what I'm here to tell you is the devil comes after people he wants to stop. And he kept telling me the whole time we were down, I'm going to destroy your church. Okay, God, this is in your hands. I don't have the strength to get out of bed right now. And I'm here to tell you the devil is not going to win. The devil is not going to destroy this body. And he's coming in. I'm telling you right now, the devil is bringing things into your life, trying to sideswipe you, trying to distract you. Do not embrace sin just because the world is embracing it. They're going to hell! By the way, I am fired up right now. Sorry. It's 3 weeks. The world is going to hell. Do you really want to go with them? No. No, we don't want to go to hell. I want to stand. I want to, if I have to wait until I see that white horse coming with King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then that's where I will stand. Because I know he has equipped me. I know he has strengthened me. I know he has set us here for such a time as this. And I would rather follow a general into battle who has a Purple Heart, who has a combat action, who has a Bronze Star, than a general who has a Firewatch ribbon. That's the National Defense ribbon, by the way. Everybody gets it now. Why? Because it says he's been there. When I was in the Marine Corps, General Gray was our commandant. And I read up about him. That man had more combat action than most of the generals today. Well, we didn't have wars as much. We're starting to get some generals who have some leadership, some guys who were lieutenants and captains and majors, and they were in the field. They were raised up. Do you know why General George Washington just about got his butt kicked in the Revolutionary War? Because he was promoted to general because he was wealthy. Does that seem like a smart idea to anybody? No. But George Washington had one thing. One, he did know that there was a creator and a power stronger than him. He may not have been perfect. The first perfect person, please pick up your chair and throw it at me. I know I'm not going to get hit. Two, he asked for help. If you don't know what you're doing, ask for help. Praise God. So as the weeks before, as God was stirring in me the message on complaining, and he gave me that, I had to call Angela up. I said, "Do you know what God just told me?" I said, "When we complain, it's a charge against him of evil." She actually wrote that down, and I'm up there on her wall. Pastor Art Waddell, this is my saying. We're charging God with evil. Do you hear that now? God, you don't love me enough. Wow. That is astounding when we sit and we look at it like that. That's like your kids like giving your children everything. And they said, "You don't love me." Well, that's not what the Bible says that if I loved you, I should do. The Bible says if I love you, I should bust your bottom. I should discipline you. I should raise you up. I should train you up. Giving them, and by the way, giving them everything does not spoil them. Giving them things does not spoil a child. Not busting their bottom when they need it is what does that. They say if you discipline a child when they're little, yeah, you got to smack those fingers. My brother fell twice on a kerosene heater, hands first. They were actually about to investigate mom and dad for child abuse because it was within 6 weeks. But you know what happened? The kid wouldn't stop running. And he tripped on the rug every time and landed hands down on top of that kerosene heater. I think he got his bottom busted. That stopped him from running. When we're complaining against God, folks. Now, here's where I'm going to start my scriptures. Exodus 15. Through the entire Exodus of Israel, all the way into the land of Canaan. You know why? Because it wasn't 3 days and they were complaining. Weren't there enough? God says, "I'm going to take you out. Go get all the riches. Go get all this. Go get..." And I have to stop and think, and I'm looking, and I'm like, "God, why didn't they take food? Why didn't they take enough water? They went and got all the riches, the things you can't eat, the things you can't drink. There would have been plenty. By the way, they were the shepherds. Where were all the flocks that should have been with them? The Egyptians looked down on shepherding people. The Egyptians were like, "We're up here, you're down here." And the truth of the matter was, they had all the food. They had all the wool. They had it all. But where were their flocks? And I get it. You're moving that many people. That is an undertaking. It was an undertaking to begin with. But they get out there. and they're following God, a pillar by day and a flame by night. And God is walking them around. They're on the road. They're headed towards the promised land. It's 3 days out. By the way, typically, if you want to figure it out, 20 miles is what they figure a group could walk in a day. 20 miles. When it says a day's journey, it's 20 miles. So from here to Mansfield is all you could walk in a day. And then you got to stop and rest. Then they get up there and God says, okay, keep following me. And he veers off. And he starts walking them through all these valleys in the Sinai Peninsula. And this was Egyptian territory, so word got back to Pharaoh. They're lost. They don't know what they're doing. And Pharaoh got his dander up. Let's go get them. And all this time, God is weaving them through. And then God brings them out onto this beachhead that is just big enough for all of them to fit on. There's no escape. They got the Gulf of Aqaba in front of them and the entire Egyptian army behind them. And what do? Weren't there enough graves, Moses, that you had to bring us out here to die now like dogs? See, they weren't going to be buried. When they go in and they would do that, they didn't bury the dead. They let the hyenas and the wild dogs and cats and the birds of prey come and eat the carcasses. They were more worried about that. Weren't there enough? Wasn't there enough graves? God told Moses, and I noticed God didn't say a whole lot to him about this. This little bit of complaining. He just told Moses, said, don't be afraid. Watch the salvation of your God. And he told Moses, he said, now take your staff and raise it. And Moses raised that staff, and the Bible says an east wind blew all night. And it dried, it blew the waters parted, and they stood on end, and they didn't go one way or the other. And that wind dried. Do you know how strong of a wind that would have to be? I mean, you step in a pond that has been even 20 years old. You're sinking into muck that deep. Let alone something that only God knows how long it's really been there and been the sea bottom. And God dried the ground without blowing Israel away. Two miracles. They go across on dry ground. Instantly they get out, and old Miriam, she grabs her tambourine, and I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider is thrown into the sea. And then Egypt follows in their arrogance. And God started closing the water in on them. After the last Egyptian had gotten into it, he starts bringing those walls in and collapsing them on them. And Egypt, the entire army, is wiped out. And they go, and they sing their songs. But then they're thirsty. Moses, did you bring us out here to die again? Then they're hungry. Moses! When we were slaves, we had a pot full of meat. Hello, Einstein. You were the shepherds. Of course you had meat. You know, having been part of a farming family for the last 30 years, one thing I would never expect to hear my father-in-law say before he sold his herd is, we have no meat. You got 30 head out there. What are you telling me you have nothing to eat? They're the shepherds. What do you mean? Of course you had the meat. But that wasn't the point. And God didn't give them the meat. He gave them bread. Now there's a whole new message in that part right there. Because it'll go right back to Genesis. The world we live in is fallen. This is not the way we were meant to live. This is how the world has developed. Now, when God moved, you got to stop and think and remember, every time they came and complained against Moses, they weren't complaining to Moses. They were complaining against God. They were bringing a charge against God because they didn't know him. Couldn't you do this? Can't you save us? Can't you help us? Moses is like, dude, I'm in the same boat. I don't have water. I don't have bread. I don't have meat. And God continued to bless them. He continued to move on them. And they continued to complain. And this is why God started, people, you need blessing in your life. And I'm not talking about where you just walk into the spout where the glory comes out and you walk out a millionaire. Uh-uh. That is not what it's about. Does it feel better when you're prospering? Oh, yes. But the message of Jesus Christ is not about making you wealthy. It's about introducing you to the provider. Moses was taking them to introduce them to the hand and the man of God at the same time. But you know what they wanted? We know, right? They rejected meeting God. They only wanted his hand. And there's the slippery slope we get in on. We only want the things. We don't want to know God. We don't want to know the God who's slow to anger. Honestly, after about the second or third, they did the water thing twice. If I'd have been God, I might have reached down there and slapped a couple of them. Hello, wake up. Have I not been faithful? You know, it's interesting Katie brought that up. His name is faithful and true. That's who Jesus is in heaven. He's faithful and true. Who is he down here? Oh, he's that little skinny guy that's all beat up on the cross. I got news for you. I serve a risen Lord, a risen Savior. And the devil is scared of that guy. And it ain't no tiny little skimpy looking whoever hanging on a piece of wood. Why is it we remember Jesus as that? Why is that the only way we remember him? The Bible says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's a curse. A cursing. And in my opinion, in every house that has a crucifix, every church that has a crucifix, that's a curse. I gotta have water. But we continue to complain. On the way here this morning, I was just sharing with Angel with some things that I'm like, okay, it was starting to bubble up last night, and it was starting to bubble, really bubble this morning. And I said, and I'm coming up down the road here, right off of Union Street. And I said, I don't understand why the village has not cleaned up this corner. You have to drive way out in the lane to turn. Why don't they just take their plow and push it up? And the second I finished that statement, I said, why did I say that? That's complaining. Thank you, Lord, that they were able to at least clear that out. I can drive around a stupid corner. Anybody comes up my driveway, if you complain, shut up. It's better than what I was going to leave it. At least I have a 6-foot wide path. I got a 5-foot wide bucket on the front and a 5-foot wide blade on the back and 7-foot wide tires. I can't get wide enough. But at least I can drive nicely up my driveway now. And that was something else. I just kept looking. I keep talking about this tractor. You can ask Dave. It's not exactly a pearl. It's an old chunk of coal right now. But it's going to be a diamond. But I'm going to tell you right now, that tractor has not failed to start at 2 degrees. And I haven't plugged the block warmer in yet. That tractor warms up and it runs, and I have spent nearly 8 hours clearing my driveway with it. And as long as it gets warmer, I'm going to bring it up here and move some snow up here with it. What other people rejected, there were other farmers that had looked at that. It's a perfect size tractor for utility work. But it was wore out, and they rejected it. And I just kept saying, thank you, Lord. It's not exactly the prettiest thing. It had a headlight right in the middle of the grill, and the boys called it my Cyclops tractor. I started calling it Mike Wazowski because, one, it's actually a German tractor, and the initials are M&W. It's green and has one headlight. And if you know Monsters, Inc., Mike Wazowski's a little green monster with one eyeball. But we thanked God for it. And that thing just keeps firing up and keeps starting and keeps running. I've got all the stuff to fix it. Just kind of got waylaid the last month. But that's okay. I'm going to continue to thank God. This thing is nothing but a thing. It was an attempt to stop what God is wanting to do here. It's an attempt to stop you. Because I'm telling you right now, when he comes after the leadership, and we're not the only pastors who recently just went through this, and I wish it had just been for us a real simple, okay, we have no idea what happened. It was demonic in my opinion. But I'm thanking God for his grace, his power, his mercy in our lives. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm not going to complain. Oh, I lost another month. I was already down 9 months. So I've lost almost a year. You know what? That's what I was actually feeling like the last couple months. I am so far behind. How are you? I'm busier than a one-legged man at a butt-kicking contest right now. So, but it was wearing on me mentally. I'm not worrying about diddly squat. It'll happen when God says it's time to happen. He will move heaven and earth when it's time to move heaven and earth. All I have to do is hold on to him and trust him. And I love, thank you for singing that song, Never Once. Never once did he leave them. And they whine, they complain, oh, boo-hoo-hoo, we don't have a T-bone to eat. By the way, yes, I'm really wanting a steak right now. Boo-hoo-hoo. Boo-hoo-hoo, boo-hoo-hoo, I don't have this, boo-hoo-hoo, I don't have that. Boo-hoo-hoo, I want a Buzzsaw Louie. If you never watch the VeggieTales, you won't get it. We start looking at what other people have and we're not thankful for what we do have. We are so stinking blessed in this country. I don't care who's in Washington, D.C. Let's get this out right now. My faith has never, ever been in Trump. Ever. It has never been in Ted Cruz. It has never been in Jim Jordan. It's definitely not in Nancy Pelosi or Kamala or Joe Biden. But he is, by our laws, the president. And therefore, I will pray for him. I will pray for those people who are elected. But I'm not going to sit and, oh, did you hear what Joe did? Well, did you hear what Kamala did? You know what? They are pure evil right now. And by the way, have I not been telling you, the Antichrist has to rise for Jesus to start coming back. It has to happen. We're just a piece. We're in this puzzle. And by the way, all those preachers that made prophecies about Trump being president, they're starting to repent publicly now because they know what the Bible says about prophets. We don't stone people anymore. If you're called to be a prophet, you better doggone well know that you're a prophet and that God will make those words if he said them. We all wanted, I ain't gonna lie, I didn't want what's coming. I'm like, God, our country was actually starting to rise. We were starting to move. We were starting to make America great again. We were. I want God to do it. I don't want MAGA. I want G-MAGA. God make America great again. When we take God out of our lives, that's why when I had to address it, I'm sorry. Yeah, if you got to go someplace, that's fine. I refuse to feel any guilt, even the next Sunday when we canceled. By the way, that was totally selfish on my behalf. It really was. I did it because I couldn't think. I couldn't think one more thing. And I thought, you know what, God? People need a break. Let them rest. We will recover. We didn't realize we'd be 2 more weeks. But praise God, people were here to be able to do what we needed done. And I thank them. But I'm here to tell you, the devil wants to stop what God wants to do. He wants you to know who He is. He's a good God. He's a loving God. He's the Father. Listen, if you didn't have a good father, I am so sorry for that. But He's the good Father. He will do everything He can to make you strong, to make you powerful, and to remember to be humble and kind. It's not just a catchphrase song. God is humble and He is kind. How do we know He's humble? He took form of us. He set His immortal being aside and took on a mortal body. Folks, that's humble. You got some people that won't even help you pick up something when you drop it and they walk right by you in the store. Anytime I see people having problems loading something in their truck at Menards, Lowe's, Home Depot, I stop and give them a hand. But you know how many times I've been trying to load something myself and people just walk on by? And they don't wait on a corner. They just walk on by. They forget only a handful of people got that. I got 3 weeks worth of stuff built up. They walk by and they don't even help. I wanted to read some things to you. I came across this article. It's a little short. It's not going to be long, I promise. And I told Angela, I was like, oh my goodness. These are from studies talking about complaining. People who complain on a consistent basis are inclined to have poor health, tend not to do well in their jobs, and have relationships that are less satisfying and shorter lasting. Oh yes, and they're quite often miserable to be around. So why do we do it? Why do we complain? First of all, most people don't realize how often they complain, because it has become a habit, and like all habits, it tends to be familiar, so familiar that it becomes invisible. Secondly, most people feel that it's a good conversation starter. Did you hear what Joe Biden did? You know what? I did. And I pray for the man. I pray for the party and the people that are using him. He is obviously not 100%. I pray for the people that voted for him. How could you do that? The man is not well. But this is how evil this generation is becoming. We say wrong is right and right is wrong. Lastly, good conversation started because it's easier to find common good by complaining. We're done talking about the weather, aren't we? Oh, I'm ready for spring. Poxitani Phil, look out. I'm believing what Buckeye Chuck said, early spring, if we're going to believe anything like that. Lastly, people complain because they want validation for their beliefs. Some people might think that by complaining, you are merely observing what's going on. See, that's what I thought this morning when I made that turn. I'm just observing that the corner is out too far in the road. It was an observation. But the second I said it, the Holy Spirit said, you're complaining and you're about to preach a message on complaining. And she started laughing. I'm like, yeah, I get this a lot. But complaining, like all thought patterns, is not mere observation. It's a creative act. When you complain, you are simply reinforcing negative thoughts, and the more you complain, the more you summon your creative energies to attract the very things you complain about. Has anybody ever paid attention to that? The more you complain about something, the more you see it, the more it hits you in your life. It has been said that when you complain, you are really placing your order for more of the same. You are creating a map from which you perceive your reality. Israel was creating a map from which everything, when they started complaining, it started working through. Do you know why it started? Their complaining didn't start when they got on that little journey. The complaining started back in Egypt, when they became slaves. By the way, their slavery was a little bit different than what our in this country and some other countries. They weren't in chains. They were beaten, but they were not owned by people. They were owned by Egypt, the corporation. However, tradition holds, and I believe the book of Jasher maybe is one that records it. There was one tribe who was not a part of this, and that was the tribe of Levi. And if you're paying attention to anything, you know that the tribe of Levi was chosen to be the tribe of priests that would go into the Holy of Holies. They would go into the very tangible presence of God. They were tricked. Israel was tricked into their slavery. Why don't you come and help us build this together? We will be unified. And then when they did it, they started pulling out their own people one by one. Slowly, they left them. And then some of them started complaining. Well, where are those Egyptians at? Where's the guys that were here yesterday? And when they started complaining, they brought taskmasters with whips. But the only tribe that refused from the word go to even be a part of that was Levi. And God chose them to be his priests before him. And his leaders. Moses was of the tribe of Levi. Anyhow. Complaining also keeps people from taking action. It gives excuses to procrastinate and keep from achieving goals. It's also much easier to complain than to find a solution. What's the solution for me on that corner, folks? That when I come in with my loader, scoop the corner off. Another reason people complain is to avoid responsibility. Can I repeat that for you? Another reason people complain is to avoid responsibility. Think about arriving at work late with the excuse that the traffic was terrible, or the line at the pharmacy was extremely long, or the wait at the gas pump took forever. Sure, stuff happens, but perhaps you could have left earlier or been more prepared. We're in a bad realm anymore today. Now, when I worked at Flexible, them guys were like, be there an hour early. Okay, y'all may have done that. I did not. I was there a half hour early because I'd leave a half hour early because I knew there was fog. If I had a flat tire, it was more than enough time to change a tire and get back on the road. And if my car blew up, well, I wasn't getting there that day anyhow. But I gave myself usually a half hour. And I didn't drink coffee, and that's what those old guys do. They sat around their thermoses drinking the coffee. I got there a half hour. But do you know how many times we don't even think that? What time are you supposed to be there? 9 o'clock. What time are you leaving? Oh, I'm running late. What time is it? It's 9 o'clock. You're late. You know, now I can't vouch for the other branches, but the Marine Corps, if you showed up late to formation, well, you were going to be talking to the man when you did show up. Yeah, I figured it's the same way. It's Article 86, unauthorized absence. If you're late, folks, I'm not talking about you didn't show up. I'm talking about you're late. Do they buy excuses? Grabbed the wrong thing. No, they don't. God doesn't buy your excuse either for complaining. It's a habit now. When you want to complain, this article actually addresses some of this. The real danger for people who are constant complainers is it traps them in a negative reality, giving them more to complain about. The reasons for their circumstances are endless. I never get any real breaks. Anybody ever felt like that? I mean, there's been times I'm like, sure, they get the break. And I can look back in my family and I can say the exact same thing. It's like, well, because I can trace it right back to my grandpa. It's like, what happened? None of my grandpa's siblings lived like he did. None of their children lived like his children did. And now we're down to this part. They had money. They had this. They had that. They traveled. They did all this stuff. My grandpa's family, they struggled. When you got 14 kids and no legs, you're going to struggle. But that was all his problem. It was his fault. I don't know if he ever took responsibility for it. Praise God, he found Jesus before he died, though. And that's all I care. Because everybody else is on their own. Life seems totally and constantly unfair. The complainer's circumstances are always unfortunate and seemingly beyond their control. But this is simply not true, and the reality is that their thinking strategy seriously needs an update, because they have created their reality to be congruent with their thoughts in agreement. Complaining doesn't make one a bad person. It just puts a horrible damper on the possibility of living an exceptional life. It's a denial of responsibility, and blame is just another way of excusing yourself from being responsible. Here are some tips to help you break a habit. One, be aware. Ask the Holy Spirit to convict you the second you start complaining. Then that is exactly what happened. I mean, you could ask, it was in the same breath, and I've got short breaths right now still. It was in the same breath that God shut me down. The first and most important step, become aware when you're complaining. Commit to observing yourself for the next 24 hours. And when you catch yourself complaining to someone, stop it. Put the brakes on. Just recognize your thoughts and interact with them like an observer. The Bible tells us to cast down every thought, every imagination that rises itself up against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is, you are blessed. He told us in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, "For I know the thoughts I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. They are thoughts of goodness. They are thoughts for a future and a hope. They are not for darkness and gloom." Do you understand? We do not participate in the world's economy. We are in the heavenly economy. They want you to focus on this. God says, I just want you to trust me. Just trust me. And that's what he was trying to teach Israel. Do you understand? All they had to do when the manna came was go out with their pan and scoop up just enough for the day. And God rigged it. God's a good God. He says, I'm trying to teach you. So he created that stuff so that if they took more than what they were going to eat, oh, by the way, it also stopped gluttony. If they took more than what they were going to eat, it turned to maggots. Yum, yum. That'll really make you want to eat another bowl full of it the next day, wouldn't it? I remember what that looked like last night. Just take what you need and no more. God was trying to teach him, I will provide where there is no way of provision. There are churches, some of them are just now starting to open up. There are some churches, they're not going to open back up. God is our provider, not the government. You are not my provider. Sure, I make my living here. But you're not my provider. God is and always will be my provider. Two, take responsibility. Take responsibility for your thoughts. Take responsibility doesn't mean that you guilt and beat yourself up. It just means that you recognize the negative thoughts that are going through your mind and realize those thoughts are not you. They're just thoughts. That's why we're to cast them down. You're not casting yourself down. You're not, oh, I'm such an awful person. Let me flog myself. Ask yourself, what is the positive intention of complaining about this issue? The answer will help lead you up to the next step. If you're going to complain about something, what are you going to do to fix it? Ouch. What am I going to have to do now? The more I talk about, what am I going to have to do now if that stupid corner doesn't melt off? If it's still bothering me, I'm just going to drop my blade and cut the corner off. So the next time I pull out with my truck, I don't have to swing into the other lane. Simple. Focus on what you really want. Observe your complaint and the positive intention behind it and ask yourself, what do I really want? Be very clear about what you do want, not what you don't want. If we're going to complain about our government, ladies and gentlemen, what are we going to do about it? Oh, we're just going to complain. Are you voting? Well, I'm not registered. Well, there's your first step, Bubba. Get registered to vote. And if things still aren't going how you want them to go and how you think they should go, instead of sitting around complaining about one, yes, pray for the leaders. Or in this country, there's this great thing you can do. You could run for office. Oh, I don't want the headache. Then shut your pie hole. You don't want to fix it. You just want to whine. And I got plenty of cheese in the fridge for you with that little bit of wine. We're not going to get anywhere just complaining. Is your circumstance upside down? Figure it out. What can you do? Ask God to lead you. Replace your negative thoughts with possible alternatives. Once you get clear about what you want, your goal, seek a solution. What actions can you take now? Some people, if you're in a bad relationship, and I'm going to state this way, I'm not talking about a marriage relationship. Now, if he's beating you, let me know. I've never backed down from that one. I have no way. I know, because I know I'm not going to be the only one in line. Okay? Well, that's not your job, Pastor. And it's not his to do that and get away with it. Somebody's molesting a child. Yeah, we're not talking fun time. Brother, we're going to have a talk. And I'm not going to be talking. You can ask my boys. Let's go to the office. We need to have a talk. I forget which one of them was and said, why do you say that, Dad? We never talk. It might have been Jesse. Maybe you're Joshua. I don't remember. But yeah, we're not going to talk about this. Well, Pastor, let me tell you why. Because we've embraced garbage in the church is why we can do this. We embrace sin left and right. Listen, the sin of homosexuality is a sin, and the Bible says they will not have any part of the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. But yet we're embraced. Oh, it's okay. You just be who you want to be. It ain't who you want to be. The devil is out to destroy you. The very first command God gave Adam, be fruitful and multiply. A homosexual relationship cannot do that. Pray for them. That's your job. But you can't embrace sin. Just like I can't embrace somebody who's running around on their wife or their husband or beating their wife or they're abusing their children. No, I will not embrace it. It's sin. It's wrong. But the church says, well, that's not my business. Right here's where it is my business. And I'm telling you and I'm telling everybody at home, it's sin. We've got to stop it. Complaining is sin. Hallelujah. Let's start understanding that stuff. We cannot continue to think that God's going to look away from the church. Well, it's all under the blood, brother. Listen, when you keep piling sin on top of the blood, it's no longer under the blood. The Bible tells us grace is not an excuse to sin. Get the Word of God in you. This article is obviously, as you can tell, more just focused on self-help and positivity. But what I'm telling you is you've got to get the Word of God in your heart. I don't care if you memorize everything. You know, who cares? I can't remember half the scriptures that I preach, but I can quote them to you. I can't tell you exactly where they came from. Jesus didn't do that. He just said, Isaiah said, thank you, Jesus, for helping me. And for those of you that are all bent out of shape because I'm not walking around here with my Bible and I'm not pointing up scriptures every 5 minutes, I did take you down it. And I told you where to start at your home study. But did you know Paul didn't have a Bible? He wasn't out there preaching with his new King James test. All right, let's turn to Ephesians. I wrote this book. Let's turn to Colossians. I wrote this one too. By the way, let's go back to Galatians. I wrote this one. Romans, I wrote this one. He didn't do it. He preached from the revelation that he had gotten from studying the law. And he preached grace more than Peter. Peter eventually really got it. But Paul was the first one to really get it. He got God's grace, God's mercy. How about we start using that? Use it in your life. Again, if you find yourself complaining, stop. Just say, God, forgive me. I don't mean to be complaining. I just do it. Do you honestly think about every step you make when you get out of bed? Or do you just do it? You can do it in your sleep, can't you? Click. Rest of it's your imagination. We're people. We all do the same thing. The older I get, may have to do it a couple times at night. Depending on how much water I drink. We are God's children. And complaining against him is telling him, you don't love me enough, you hate me. My children have never done that, ever. But I've heard people say that, and I've seen it in the movies. No, I don't hate you because I discipline you. I love you because I discipline you. And as my boys are getting older and they're looking back, they're becoming the fathers themselves, they're venturing out in life, they're seeing, one, there's a few people that needed a spanking. Quite a few people nowadays. Some of them are adults. No, they're all adults. There was a time in life the people used to deal with those kind of adults too. They used to whip them. I ain't exactly a fan of that. But I will tell you this, I'm a fan of God's grace, of his mercy, of his goodness, his kindness. And it's his kindness that brings us to repentance. It's not the fact that he's going to swoop in and spank my bottom. It's the fact that he's saying, Art, stop. Stop complaining. Thank me. Thank me that we have plows. Thank me that it's not been that bad. I mean, it's cold, I ain't gonna lie. I'm finding every little leak in my house. I'm like, man, where is that cold air coming from? I don't normally feel it. But we should be experiencing His love and His presence. Listen, this isn't the only place we can stir up the presence of God, but this is what I've missed. This is what I've missed, was the presence of God with my brothers and sisters. Now we're going to, like I said, I've got a few prayer requests here we're going to pray for. If we've got any more, give them to Pat and he'll get them to me. What's your cousin's first name?
Bob.
Good. Yeah, that's a good thing. I'm going to be praying for you, brother. And I say that, and I listen, we're a family. And I've told you before, anybody that takes a prayer request out of here and uses it against somebody else, you're going to deal with me. And I won't be Pastor Art. I'm going to be that jerk that you always think I am. Because that a prayer request is somebody's heart crying out. And people do it because they're bonehead sometimes. They're selfish. They're self-centered. We have prayed for people for so many things. And God has continued to move. But we're going to continue to trust and watch what God does. Because I'm telling you, God is moving mightily across this land. And I told you before, and I'm going to keep telling you, it's not going to be the revival that the preachers are preaching. It's going to be a true revival. It's going to be a repentance of fathers staying home instead of bringing their children to church. It's going to be a repentance of mothers tearing down their fathers, their husbands in front of their children. And you should never do that anyhow. If you got a problem, you two need to go address it. Go deal with it. Well, I just shouldn't have. Go talk about it. Trust me, you're either going to talk about him or you're going to be telling your attorney. You need to speak. But God will help you. And that's why I don't, I try to keep it as anonymous as I can. I just wanted that man's first name. Because he is a child of God who needs his father. I mean, if God calls us by name when we're in the womb. Okay. Yeah. No, it was just some of the things. Oh, by the way, they're not here. But isn't that such a testimony for Joe and Faye? They have been believing and believing for a grandbaby. They were told, we aren't going to be trying anytime soon, so you might as well just wait for somebody else. And then God begins to move, and then God moves. And they would sit, they'll sit back there and they'll love on these little ones just as if they're their own. And I told Joe, I said, that's the goodness of God. You sowed a seed by loving on these babies and helping the mothers out. And God's going to give you your own grandchild. I didn't get to see Carter until yesterday. We hadn't seen anybody. I did run into my sister-in-law the other day. I had to get groceries, and I'm walking around. I got my mask on, and I'm trying to whistle through the... That's about as loud as I whistle anyhow. And she just walks on by, and then she stops, backs up, looks at me, and she's from me to Sherry there, and she says, you got to take your mask off. I don't know who you are. You've only known me for 32 years. No, I get it because I'm like, do you know how many people I've walked right by? All right, praise God. Well, I'm telling you right now, we're going to go through and we're going to see God. You put the burden on here. Do not pick it back up. We're going to bring it to the altar. We're going to lay it down. And you just say, Jesus, it's in your hands. I will pray in the spirit when you put it on my heart. But you know, when she went to the hospital the other morning, I was like, God, I got to leave it in your hands. I said, it's all in your hands. I can't worry about her because I'm not even there. And here she is. God's healed her. She's whole. Told to go home, live her life. Yeah, I got to stop. I got all year to preach. All right, let's go before the Lord, shall we? Heavenly Father, I thank you. I praise you, Lord God. Lord, I thank you to be standing here in front of your people today. Lord, I thank you for your people. Lord God, I pray that, first off, this message today, Lord, that it goes through their hearts, Father, that when we start to complain, that you shut us down, and that we thank you, Lord, that at least the snowplow was able to open it up. Father, I thank you and I praise you that you're moving on all of us. And that as we begin to turn our complaining away from that and back to praise and back to thanking you for the things, Lord God, that we will see you move mightily in our lives. And Father, we pray for Stephanie right now. Lord God, I thank you. Lord, this may sound mean, but I thank you that she is where she is right now. Father, I thank you that you're going to begin to send people. You're even going to send angels, if need be, Father, to that young girl. Father, that they will be in to speak into her life, Father, that there will be prison ministries that will help her. Lord God, and Father, I'm just asking this, Lord, because I'm in agreement with the family. She doesn't get out this time. Father, that they do not release her so that she can run away again. Father, we love her, and right now she needs your help. So, Father, I thank you that you're breaking the addiction in her life. You're bringing restoration into her heart for you, Father, but keep her where she has to be. Lord, that she cannot access the drugs. Father, I thank you that you're moving in her life. And Father, we thank you for Estella, Lord, that she is beginning a recovery. Lord, I pray right now that through Whitney, she'll be able to speak life into Estella's life and show her what God has done for her. Lord, I thank you that you're moving right now. The addiction, that the cravings, Father, that our body creates for these things, Father, are broken right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you that you're touching Joy right now. You're continuing to heal her body. Father, having been there, I speak life. I speak clearness of breathing. Clearness of mind, Father, strength. I bind the aches and the pains in the name of Jesus, and I thank you, Father, that you're helping her. Father, you're just helping her mind to settle and to relax and to absorb what you're bringing her, Father. I thank you that you're moving in her life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, I stand with my friends and against this power that is over Bob's mind. Lord, I stand in the name of Jesus and we break that thing by the blood of Jesus and the name and the power that all these things, the stronghold that is over his mind, his thoughts, Lord God, telling him lies, Father, they are broken in Jesus' name, Father. And I thank you that life, you're going to fill him with your word, Father. You're going to give Dave and Michelle the words to speak to him. Father, you're going to give whoever is around him. As a matter of fact, you're surrounding him, Father, with faith people to speak into his life, to speak into his hearing, Father, that he may believe those words and not the words of the enemy. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Father, I thank you right now that you're touching my sister Sarah. You're healing her, Father. You're bringing her blood sugar into submission. Father, I thank you right now that you're moving in her life. Father, the devil has no say in this. She is the victor. She is the winner. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And Father, I thank you that you've been moving in the lives of our friend Dick. Father, that you're gonna help the dentist as he's working on him. Father, I thank you that you're healing and helping him to recover, especially at his age now, Father. Thank you that he will have no side effects from any medicines or any of the work in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for what you've done for my son. Lord, I thank you that he had to have two root canals and you brought things into submission and he's not in pain and he is going to be able to recover fully. His teeth are going to be fine. Father, I thank you that the rest of this thing is done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And Father, you see Desi and Ryan's desires to have a child. Father, I thank you and praise you right now that you're moving in her life. Father, you're bringing about life in her body. Father, I thank you that as she seeks you even more, Father, that you will continue to bring her around and one that this baby will be raised in your presence. But Father, I declare your will. And the very first thing you told us to do was be fruitful and multiply. Therefore, I speak life to her womb, life to the seed in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving on behalf of Sherry's son and his business that he's built. Lord God, I pray that moles, Father, that are there to destroy will be revealed, Father. Things that are coming against them that are being brought from the outside, that people that have set their sights on destroying him and his business, Father, they will be found out. And Father, and that your justice will move swiftly into them, Father. But I pray right now that as he continues to trust you, that you bless him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you and praise you that finally in this country, people are seeing that human trafficking is real and that it is in our country. Father, we thank you and praise you that you're moving, that you're stopping trucks, vans, motorhomes, Father. You're helping people escape from their chains and the captivity, Father God, and that the authorities are moving in swiftly and they're bringing justice. And now, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in that. Father, I thank you that you're moving in our country. We don't care who's in the White House. We care who's on the throne. Father, I thank you and praise you that man's heart is in your hand. And that you turn it as a river to your needs. So, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving. Not only through the White House, through the Senate, through Congress, through the Supreme Court, Father God, all the way down to every state, every commissioner, every village council, Father, that you are moving, you are directing, you are ordering steps. Now, Father, we know there's things we will not change. Help us, Father, to hold on to you and not worry about trying to change these things that we cannot change or we will ever be able to change. Father, I thank you and praise you that in the light of new leadership in this country, Father, that you're going to set your angels round about our military leaders, around our troops. Father, you're giving them wisdom. You're leading them. You're guiding them, Father, and that plans that are meant to cause us harm, Father, will be thwarted in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Father, since we've been praying for addicts, Lord, we continue to stand against the drug trade, starting right here in Mount Gilead. Father, labs collapse. Father, pot plants send the worms to destroy. The heroin mules to be caught. And the drug kingpins brought to their knees. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving, starting right here in Central Ohio and moving out. Hallelujah. And Lord, we cannot end a prayer without praying for Israel. Lord, she is the apple of your eye. And she's under attack. We pray for her. We pray for her leaders. That you lead them, you guide them, you give them the leadership and advice that they need to hear. And now, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in this country. Not for a walking on the chairs, rolling on the floor revival, but for a heart-changing, life-altering revival. Father, that not only will the body of Christ rise up powerful and mighty, but that souls that have never known you will be saved. Those who have walked away will return. Father, that people's lives will be changed once and for all. And that, Father, that instead of trying to create an atmosphere, Lord, that people will go and take the joy they have found to the houses, to the highways, to the byways. Father, that it's all about you. This calling of souls to repentance is not about us building our church. It's not about us building a ministry. It's about us patting the kingdom of heaven and robbing the gates of hell. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving right now. Father, I thank you you're moving in this church. Lord God, that lives are being changed, Father. Hearts are being softened. And Father, that revelation of who we are is being given. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
That's right. I have a praise report. We prayed for a friend of mine in the church, for her son.
Yeah.
To get help from his drug habit. And I just want you guys to know that he has gotten help. And he's been drug free now for several months. And still continuing with his help.
Praise God. Amen. 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 See, folks, it's just like God's moving. Don't think he isn't. God is going to move in his way. We got our way. We think how God needs to do things, don't we? By the way, did you ever stop and think that when you say, well, you know, I would have done it differently, you're actually criticizing the way somebody did something, which is a form of complaining. Why did you do that? Well, it's because of the way I thought it needed to be done. And that's that. That's all, folks. Oh, praise God. Well, I got to tell you, you know, I was here in spirit to a degree, but I was kind of here physically. When you guys were praising the Lord, I was out front. I had to get a test, so I'm going to go to church. I was out here praying in tongues. Yeah, last week. I was on my way to pick her up, by the way. So I wasn't stopping. But I'm just here to tell you, we've been praying for you too. And we are so, so thankful for the prayers of our friends and our families. you know, here, because I'm telling you, when the devil comes in, it says he comes in like a flood. And that we just thought we had, you know, just a little bit of the flu. That's what the symptoms were. Don't know why things turned the way they did, but I'm here to tell you, I wasn't concerned. And by the way, my whole thing was a joke about don't fear the reaper. I don't fear him anyhow. And God's got an appointed time for me to die, and it ain't yet. So, on the devil and on all the people that are worried. I'm not dying. I think I believe my heart, God's already told me, I'll see him come back. So, and I'm looking forward to that. And the worse this world gets, I'm here to tell you, folks, the worse things get out in the world, the closer he is. All right, let's stand. Yeah, Joe was kind of easy on you. Yes, they were. They were. And that's just it. You know, I've had to learn over the years, sometimes when God says, shut up, shut up. 15 minutes? Okay, that's what needed to be said. Got nothing else. But I'm telling you, I'm feeling more and more that we're gonna start seeing things unfold. Yeah, I'll talk about this stuff later, because another message was hope that God was. But we're gonna see. I'm just gonna tell you right now. If you're concerned, by the way, yes, we are looking into trying to figure out how to get maybe a nursery crew during praise and worship. We got a lot of babies. We got a lot of babies, and we can't expect the same crew to be doing work the whole time. So we're working on getting the room. That's what I was going to start that week. And, yeah, that's okay. Not worried about it. Devil doesn't win. I've read the end of the book. If you need any encouragement, go to the end of the book about Revelation 18. Go there and start reading. We win. All right, let's pray. All right, Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord, I do. Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for the people here, the people at home. Lord, I thank you right now that you're just going to be with Miss Maggie as well. Father, you're touching her, Lord, as she goes in for this surgery on her knee. Lord, that you're with her. Father, there will be no complications. I call forth a speedy recovery in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord God, I thank you and praise you that your power is going out. People that are not here because they're ill, Lord, I thank you. You're touching them. Father, we curse sickness and disease in their lives. We speak life and health, Father, and we pray for strength to their bodies in Jesus' name. And now, Lord God, I do. I thank you for these people. I bless them. Lord God, I bless them above and beyond anything they could ever imagine, Father, that you are moving in their lives, Father. You're bringing about hope in a hopeless situation. You're bringing about life in the valley of the shadow of death. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, yeah, I can.